Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother John. We thank you for his love for you, Lord, and your love for him. And Lord, we just pray that you will use him as your instrument to just to feed us. We need food from you, Lord. We need to grow spiritually, so we need to hear your word. So Lord, be with him. Just empower him to deliver it in your power and your strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you. I've said this is my second time to step in this church, and I caught up with Rob some time back, and he was able to give me a little bit of a tour of where you worship the Lord. And I think I was saying to Rob that, you know what, I think you are placed in a very, very strategic place at a very, very strategic time of our life. And I think no matter what may be happening, you are in the right place at the right time, in the right timing of the Lord. And I said to Rob, you know what, it's a pity in a way that we're just getting to know each other at this time. But who knows, the Lord has different plans for his kingdom. My name is John Mbayo. I know some people think I'm from Scotland. They call me Makibayo. But the right way this to pronounce is bio, like the way you pronounce biochemistry. So my name is Bayo. I am originally from Zambia, which was Northern Rhodesia. If you remember your history, we are part of the Commonwealth country ruled by the British, which we are very proud because we can communicate to you in English, and which is great. And so I've been in this country nearly coming to 18 years. I grew up in Zambia. My parents were, evangelical, I would say, more or less. Very, very troubled upbringing, I would say. If you think of, you look on TV, you see those children, street kids on the street. I was one of those children on the street. And by the grace of God, I am here by his grace. And I mean, I can go into loads, so we could stay here for the whole day if you are to hear my story. But it's a great pleasure just to be here with you, saints, and just to share this time with you. I'm now working here at the Royal Air Force as a chaplain. Before that, I was in Northern Ireland, where I served in the Methodist Church where I belong. I ordained in the Methodist Church. I served there for almost 8 years as a pastoral assistant. Then I went into ordination, and I was in East Belfast, where I was serving in the Methodist Church there as a minister, until I felt God moving me into the direction of being a chaplain in the forces. And this is my first station as a chaplain, and it's been a wonderful journey for us as my family. I'm married to Karen, my wife. She's a Presbyterian, minister ordained, and we've got two children, Joshua and Abigail. So you can think of it, we're very, very ecumenical in our family. Me as a Methodist, my wife as a Presbyterian minister, our children, we don't know what they will be. Maybe one of them will be a Mennonite or a Baptist, who knows? But all our children, they are all full of the love of God. They love Jesus. And I can say that we all love Jesus. We are all saved by his grace. And we trust in God to see where the Lord is going to be taking us. Today, you know what, I was preaching last week on the station, and the Lord had put this message in my heart, because I remember one of the preachers of all time, I don't know if you remember him, John Stott, used to say, as a preacher, you need to have a newspaper in your hand and a scripture in your hands. That's what he used to say. And you need to know what's happening in the world and reflect and think of what is the Lord saying in that world. And last week, the Lord gave me the passage of scripture that I'm going to share with you. But as the Lord does, sometimes he does surprising things, isn't it? He gives you something, you think this is the way direction it's going to take. And yesterday when I was just in the evening, I was seated outside, Mark knows my house, and the Lord just changed a little bit of what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about the Exodus. I know all of us, we are Christians here. We know the story of the Exodus, isn't it? We know how the children of Israel, they were in captivity for 430 years in Egypt. We know the trauma and the anguish that they went through under the tyranny of the pharaohs of that time. Being in a foreign land, taken away from their land which was promised to them, which was given to them by their father Abraham, they found themselves in Egypt, which God foretold Abraham that his children would be slaves in Egypt. But God promised Abraham that they will not be there for too long. I will visit them at the right time and I will deliver them. And I can imagine for 430 years, the children of Israel, this clan, this tribe, were in Egypt in a foreign land. And all they had was this promise and the legacy of their father Abraham, who had walked with God, to whom God had given the promise of a land, which at that time they were not inhabiting because they were in a foreign land. They were strangers. They didn't know the language of the time, some of them, because they didn't want to integrate. They didn't know the gods of the Egyptian because they had so many gods, because they only knew one God. So you can imagine generation after generation had died in Egypt. Children were born to them, and some of the children were born in Egypt were nearly running away, forgetting their history of their forefathers, because they were born in Egypt. I am sure some of them even had passports written Egyptian, like the young man Moses. Some of them were even adopted. So in a way, you can see how the Egyptians were squeezing the children of Israel in Egypt, molding them into the frame of the Egyptian, trying to take away their legacy of the one true God in order to worship the God of Egypt. And I can think, when I reflect about the Exodus, I'm thinking about the despair that was going on in the lives of these Israelites, who had a will from God written in their homes, that their father was called Abraham, and he had an inheritance which God had promised him. But that inheritance looked far, far away, because they were in captivity. Oh, praise be to God. Amazing God. They were in trouble. The Egyptians started mistreating them because they were growing in number. They were not following the one China policy of only having two children. Because the children of Israel believe in the promise of God that they are supposed to fill the earth, have children. There was no family planning within the Jewish people. So they had children and children. But the Egyptians seemed to be dwindling, and they were frightened. And the Egyptians thought, because of this threat these Israelites are bringing upon us, let's mistreat them. Let's cut them off. Let's depopulate their population. We know what's been happening in this country. You know the whole Brexit. Because we had foreigners in this country, the Polish, the Hungarians, who were, now we are having problems because we can't pick up the vegetables. Because the people who were picking up the vegetables, they've gone back to their country. Because they were a threat to the housing, they were a threat to the health sector, they were a threat to employment. We know what's happening. And that was the life in Egypt. But you know what? The children of Israel, they came to this place where the promise of God, which God had given to Abraham, seems as if God had forgotten about it. And they just didn't, in a way, have you ever seen a person who gets so used to the pain? You get so used to the pain because with this pandemic, I had a mild sort of COVID. I got mild COVID. And since then, I sort of, I got over it. And I started having what they call long COVID. And I was having this constant fatigue. And I just started getting, I took all the Panadols, all the paracetamols, and I just couldn't get over it. The pain was just, I just started thinking, maybe this is now chronic pain, and I'll just get used to it. And to one of my friends who's a doctor said, no, John, maybe you need to reset your button. Get out of all your paracetamols and reset your body. And that's how, by the grace of God, I am where I am. But there are people who live with chronic pain because the medicine has totally failed them. And they've accepted their pain. It become part of them. Some of them, they even change their name. Their pain becomes their identity. Their trouble becomes their identity. And these Jewish people in Israel, because of the slavery that they were in, that became their identity. They forgot the promise of God. I'm going to read for you from Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'll read from verse 26. And hear the story of this, what I'm talking about. So when the deliverer came, were the children of Israel willing to go? No. Listen to the word of God. The Bible says, but you are not willing to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents or in your houses and said, it is because the Lord hates us that he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to destroy us where we are headed. Our children, our kindred have made our hearts melt by a bad report. The people are strong and taller than we are. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven. We actually saw there the offsprings of Achan. I said to you, have no dread or fear of them. I said to you, the Lord your God goes before you, is the one who will fight for you. I'll read that again. The Lord your God, who goes before you, is the one who fights for you. Just as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw the Lord your God carrying you, just as one carries a child all the way as you traveled, until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you have not trusted the Lord your God, who goes before you on the way to seek out a place for you to camp in the fire by night and the cloud by the day to show you the route where he should take you. Hear the word. The Lord who goes before you to prepare a place for you where you should camp and be safe. The Lord who goes before you, even if you don't, you are not willing, you are not trusting Him, the Lord carries you as its father, as a mother carries his only child to prepare a place for you. Let's read from the New Testament. Just hold those thoughts before. I'll read from the Methodist. Very, very famous passage of scripture. This is now the Lord Jesus speaking in the New Testament. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwellings or many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also may be. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." If you think of the Old Testament Exodus word that God is speaking to the children of Israel, "I go before you, do not be terrified." The same way Jesus is speaking to his disciples before his departure, saying, "I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions." We've seen what has happened in Iraq, haven't we? In Afghanistan, I mean. And we know how this, especially for us who are in the forces, you know how this has become a major, major elephant in the room because of the disappointment. And you can imagine the number of people who have lost their loved one with the wars that we were engaged in Afghanistan. What was it for? Was there any purpose for that? But when I think about all that, the interesting thing about Afghanistan was the reaction of the West, the Allied forces. What did we do? When the Taliban came in Afghanistan and took over Afghanistan, in a twinkling of an eye, I would say, the West started to react. What did they say? Evacuation. Evacuation. They had to evacuate anybody who had a British passport, who had an American passport, or Italian. Everybody leaks. They put everything, all the efforts here on the station, every effort was driven to the evacuation. And I was thinking about that. Why? Why did the British, the American, the Italian, the German wanted to evacuate their people? Because the responsibility of the government to protect the lives of their citizens, isn't it? That's why you pay your taxes. That's why you elect your leaders. Because you trust them that in the time of trouble, they will come for you. And I was thinking about this. If the British, I know that not all have been evacuated, but the truth is that the British, those soldiers who worked with the British, some of them are already here. They've been evacuated. It is sad to see that not all were evacuated. Some have remained. Why? Because they have the British passport. Some of them, they don't even have British passport. All they have is a paper that they worked for the British. And they are here, safe. Karen, my wife, we were just chatting the other day and saying, have you observed what has been happening in the world the past maybe 10 years? The way the world is happening, what's been happening between the volcanic eruption, between the floods, between the fires in parts of the world, between the terrorism that's going on, the floods of people of Syria, that country is just being broken right now as we are speaking. And not only that, what has happened in the past few years we can easily forget is my brother prayed for Israel. Trump became president, and the next thing Trump did was he declared Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. And you know what has been happening right now in Israel. What is he saying to us as a church? When you see, like I said, as children of God, we need to watch, read the newspaper, but at the same time, read the scripture. What is he saying to us? I felt the Lord was saying to me yesterday, when Jesus said here, believe in God, believe also in me, is really interesting. Because there are so many people today, they believe in God. Even some of them who don't believe in God, they have some belief system that there's somebody there who is supreme. Because the world and nature is showing that there's God who's in control. I get a lot of calls on the station, especially during this pandemic. Some of my friends who are doctors phoning me, John, how do I become a Christian? And I've been able to run Alpha Course on the station. I've been able to run Christian Explorer on the station. Some of them, they gave their life to Jesus during the pandemic. And I didn't even know where to baptize them. So what did I do? I had to find my friend in Boston who had a hot tub. And I baptized them in the name of Jesus in the hot tub because the swimming pool were closed. People are seeking God. Now, the whole Middle East, they believe in one God called Allah. But the problem they have here is what Jesus is saying. They have the eyes to see there's a God who created the heaven, God who created nature. But the stumbling block is, believe also in me. That's what Jesus is saying. Do they believe in Jesus? Do we believe? Believing in Jesus is believing the words of Jesus, believing his promises, trusting him. And you know what? Even within Christianity, I was reminded of the story of 2 Kings chapter 6. I don't know whether you know it. It's a story of Elisha and Gehazi. The story of Elisha and Gehazi is that Gehazi was a servant of Elisha the prophet. And one time the enemies of Israel surrounded the camp of Elisha and Gehazi. And because Gehazi was a servant, he woke up early in the morning. I don't know where he was looking for water. And when he went out, he found that the whole camp was surrounded by their enemies. And they were about to die. And if you read the scripture, it said that Gehazi went to Elisha and said, my master, alas, my master, what shall we do? We are about to die. Because our camp is surrounded by the enemy. Our ministry and our church and everything that we have fought for is about to be extinguished because we are surrounded by our enemy. Gehazi, when he saw all that, he felt that was the end of his pay because the enemy has surrounded them. But interesting enough, Elisha was not frightened. He spoke to Gehazi and said, "Don't be afraid." Just like Jesus speaks to his disciples and said, "Don't be afraid." For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That's what Elisha said. It's interesting, isn't it? A Gehazi who was a servant was seeing in the natural. I'm speaking to Christians. He believed in God because he was a servant of the prophet. That's why he followed Elisha, I'm sure. But for some reason, the God of Elisha was not the God that Gehazi knew. He had an understanding about God, but he didn't know God, really. They know there is a God there, but they don't have the spiritual eyes to see what God sees. And because of that, because of not having that spiritual eyes to see, what happens? People are afraid and our hearts are troubled by what's happening in the world. Nowadays, there's what we call mental health problems. And it's all spiritual, I would say. It's because of this. Jesus is saying, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will take you to be where I am." Evacuation. Exodus. I'm telling you today, church, if there's a message you need to know today and pray for, I'm praying that God will open our spiritual eyes to see, like the servant Gehazi's eyes were open, that he was able to see beyond what was happening in the world. And his heart was encouraged. Because it's not what we are seeing with our eyes, with our sensual realm, which tells us about God. It's what God's promise has told us in his word, which is more important to our lives. I don't know how you see yourself here in the Baptist church. What do you see when you walk in Coningsby? What do you see when you drive in Lincolnshire? We pray that God will open up our eyes to see in the spiritual realm and see the God who goes before us, who prepares a way for evangelism, who prepares a way for intercessors, who prepares a way. I am excited. I am not frightened whether the Taliban come. I'm not frightened whether ISIS come in this world. I'm not excited by the floods. I'm not afraid of all this happening. Why? Because I know the one who said, "Believe in me, believe also in my Father. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take it to where I am." And what happened? This everything, if you read the scripture, for those of us who know the scripture, everything that is happening in the world today is a fortress, is building up to the eminence retained over our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm excited. And because of that, what should be our response as a church? Should we also be afraid? Why should we be? We should look up in the eyes of Gehazi and say, "Lord, open my eyes. Where do you want me to see? Let me see where you are working. Let me see where you are going ahead of me so that I can follow you, who is the master and finisher of our faith." Because he is the way and we are his followers. He He is the truth. It's not the media, Facebook or Twitter, which is the truth. The truth is the word of God, who says, Lord, I give you your peace. He is the life. And if we have him as a life, guess what? We have life and we have peace. We will not be afraid at all because we have his word. So it's a choice actually for us as a church to see what we see. What are we seeing today? As we came today, what did you see? When you go home, what do you see or what do you hear? It's a wonderful song. I'll finish with this. I don't know if you know it. It's by William Young Fulton. He sang about, I cannot tell why whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. I love it. Do you know that song? I cannot tell how he will win the nation, how he will calm the earthly heritage, how he will satisfy every need and aspiration, and how he will gather the west and the east, the sinners and the sage. But this I know, that all flesh will see his glory. He shall reap the harvest he has sown, and some glad day the sun shall shine in splendor when he, the Savior of the world, is known. I cannot tell how the lions will worship him, when at his bidding every storm will be stilled. Oh, who can say how great jubilation when every human heart will be filled with his love. By this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, with myriad human voices singing, earth to heaven and heaven to earth will answer, at last, the Savior of the world is king. I don't know. I cannot tell. This is what the songwriter read, right? I cannot tell you. I don't even know how he will govern the nations. My daughter Abigail, she's 9 years old, and she was watching the news of Afghanistan. And she went to her mom and started crying. Crying. And the mother said, what's wrong? She said, my heart is breaking, mommy. Why? It's breaking because of the people in Afghanistan. A 9 year old. And she said, when is Jesus coming? I cannot tell. But what we said is we need to pray. Because he has the answer. He is the King of Kings. And all we need to know as a church is to have the passion and the love for Jesus that will compel us to see where God is working in our communities, in our families, because he is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. And I believe that you here as a church, you are like that lifeboat to rescue those who are dying there. You have the anchor to throw to them. And you can save one. There are people that you know. There are people that you've grown up with. That you can talk to. who can come and know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And all we need is ask God, open my eyes, Lord, so that I can see. Open my ears, Lord, that I can hear. Open my mouth, Lord, I can speak the words of grace to the people that they need it at the right time. Augustine said, preach the gospel. If necessary, use the words. On the station, as a chaplain in finishing, I don't go about preaching. No, I just live my life. And I've decided, I am a flight lieutenant. Next year, all being well, I'll be squadron leader. But I've decided I am not going to be defined by my ranks. I'll be defined by the order of Christ in me, because Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I want all the troops, young, junior, old, or as I speak truth to authority, I want them to see Jesus in my life. I had a very good report from the station commander, writing with my Oja, says, John, we've seen, or the report is, you are full of compassion. The troops, they come, they ask. And when they come to talk to me, I always refer them to the scripture when necessary. Why? It's intentional. It's my mission. I'm the secret agent of heaven. And I want you, by the grace of God, wherever you are, to know that you are the secret agent of the kingdom of God. And you have to use everything necessary in your disposal, whether it is your income, whether it is your voice, whether whatever you have, use it to the rescue of the children that Jesus died for. That's why he's tiring. He can come today. He can come tomorrow. But there are people who need to know him as their Lord and their Savior. And we, as his secret agents, we need to remember why we are here. When that mission is over, he will come and take us to the right place where he has prepared for himself. That's my word of encouragement to you today, church. I didn't come with a big sermon, 5.5 sermon. I've just rattled around. And I pray that whatever the Lord has spoken to you, take it, hone it, and ask him and say, Lord, where do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with this word? He, the Lord, goes before us. Whether it's evangelism, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our work, in our life, in death, or in life, Jesus goes before us. And that's the confidence that we have in Christ, knowing that he is with us, God Emmanuel. And I pray that and encourage you that even as you come to worship here, be encouraged. The harvest belongs to him, but we have to do everything in our power to make sure that we are being used by him as he leads us. Amen.